and Kathy Dawes now, along with Via Christi Hospital of Manhattan President Bob Koppel, and we welcome you today.
Thanks,
and I
Kathy.
Know all sorts of directions we can go, and I guess maybe let's talk. I know you've had a lot of moving on going on, like clinics and different things that are happening or that are planned.
Sure. So actually this week our pain clinic and sleep lab staff are busy moving back to campus from Sunset. And we have just completed a $2 million project on the third floor of our north outpatient pavilion. And we will start seeing patients on Thursday in the new pain clinic and do our first sleep study this weekend in the new space.
So very good.
Very exciting.
Well, and I know we had talked about this for quite some time, but when it comes to construction and getting things ready.
Everything is a process. So, yeah, that actually moves all of our last departments off the upper level of what's now Lafine, the old Sunset campus. And then in August, everybody that's on the lower level will move to our new clinic at 6th and Leavenworth, and that's our outpatient behaviorals, our diabetes education, and our it's our weight management program. It's called Via Christi Light. And they will all move in August to 6th Street.
Well, that's exciting. So, yeah. And I know a lot of work involved getting ready for that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, you're taking a building that was built for another purpose a long time ago, and we're making it into a medical facility. And so they will move in August, and then about 2 weeks later, the first week of September, we'll be opening a primary care clinic, and that'll be the first primary care clinic on the east side of Manhattan, because every physician currently in Manhattan is west of college.
Oh, well, that's...
So there are no doctors or nurse practitioners, PAs, to provide primary care on the east side of town.
And that makes a lot of sense, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's good for folks in that area of the town.
A piece of it is just access, giving people options, and then also to draw people in from the southeast and to the east of town as well to make it more convenient for them.
Are you seeing the light at the end of the tunnel yet? Are you getting close at all?
With construction?
Yes.
That's just an ongoing process. At this point, that's the last major, because we're spending a little over $3 million on the new facility down there at 6th Street. And that's the last major project that we've got planned right now.
Very good. Well, I imagine it's been quite the process involved there. And any special challenges along the way? I'm sure there always are when it comes to construction.
I think one is just we would all like to move faster than we do. But we actually have a very good local contractor, good general contractor, good subs. And I think the piece that probably took the longest, and this was really specific to 6th Street, was just working with, we have an out-of-state landlord. And the landlord actually owned the building, but it has never even been to Manhattan. And so it's just a different process you have to work through when you're not talking to somebody who really is necessarily vested and, interested in the community. From day one, folks like the Chamber of Economic Development, they're like, are you kidding me? We're actually going to have healthcare on the east side of town. This is great. And then it was kind of the good luck working with the landlord just because he doesn't necessarily have that same level of investment. But that's, that got resolved. We're on our way. It's going to be very, very nice. So we're pretty excited.
Oh, I bet you are. Well, I know, too, that we could go on and talk more, I'm sure, about that or anything else that's going on. But I guess, let's go ahead and cut to the chase. We continue to hear a lot more about expansion of Medicaid. Obviously, the governor vetoed, huge story this last week. And I know that it's interesting because we had Representative Susie Swanson in on Friday on our In Focus program talking about her concerns. And she is a Republican, but she voted for the expansion. She said her own hospital administrator is really concerned about where things are heading.
Well, there's a whole bunch of different ways to look at this. There's just the healthcare aspect of it. And in the state of Kansas, we have 150,000 people who really don't have access to healthcare because they're not insured in any way. And these are people that the vast majority of them are actually working. And so it's, a lot of times people are like, it's just about, people who aren't working, aren't trying, et cetera. And these are folks who are working. They actually make too much money to get Medicaid, which sometimes you just have to kind of pause and think about that. These are people who actually make too much to get Medicaid, but they don't make enough to get assistance buying health insurance on the exchange. So they're left in the middle. And so we tend to treat these people in the emergency rooms around the state, or they don't get treated at all. I mean, that's kind of the reality. So I think the frustration from a provider is that we've got folks that we could do a better job taking care of them if they had access to healthcare. And to get that, quite honestly, you've got to have some sort of insurance, which in this case would be expanding Medicaid or CanCare. the impact to facilities. I mean, I sometimes just have to shake my head because we've got some folks in Topeka who will say, well, this really has no impact on rural health care. And they could not be more wrong. You know, it is the rural communities have actually taken the brunt of some of this because the working poor tend to congregate in either rural areas or large urban areas. And so there's definitely been an impact. I've got peers around the state who don't know if they're going to be open next year. There's folks who don't know if they can make payroll in 2 weeks. And you lose healthcare out of a community, that pretty much kills your opportunity for future economic development, because what company would ever relocate to a community with no healthcare? And we've seen, I mean, I think we talked, it was probably last fall, you know, the clinic closed in Alma. So you have a big chunk of Waubenesee County who no longer even has a physician clinic. Try to get folks interested in moving to Waubenesee County or having any sort of business initiative there. I mean, I think for them, it's complicated their problem in trying to have any kind of economic development. And, you know, the financial side of this is just, it's crazy big numbers. The state's already lost out on a couple $1 billion worth of revenue coming in. We've missed employment opportunities for hundreds, if not 1,000 or so people. We've not collected those payroll taxes from those people. They're not spending money here that, you know, if they were working. That's why, you know, there's so many of the Chamber of Commerce now in the state actually came out in support of CanCare expansion. And, you know, again, you kind of pull back to like, why would a Chamber of Commerce even get involved? And it is all about economic development. And we've seen that in other states, you know, around the country. They've really benefited from expanding Medicaid and taking care of people. The dots maybe are not obvious, but they are definitely connected. And it is disappointing. I know I was at the legislative coffee on Saturday, and you hear our elected folks basically talk about their frustration of any legislation they now look at has to be with the view of, is it veto-proof? It's not even about what the specific bill is anymore. Can we get enough votes to make something veto-proof? And there is so much energy and time that goes into that, that it's taken away from like actual issues, which I was standing, but in the back of the room, you're just shaking your head. And it's like, you know, this is messed up a little bit. We're just a little off track here. And I think, quite honestly, my opinion, it's all about political ideology and it has nothing to do with reality. And I think that's where we miss. But
well, not only at the state level, but even nationally, there's still a lot, even though I know that they weren't able to change things, but there's still a lot of tension, I think, right now. You feel like you're in limbo all the time, a little bit.
Well, there's, you know, it's kind of interesting, and that's actually one of the excuses, I would say, that some of our friends in Topeka aren't moving forward, is that they want to wait and see what happens on a federal level. And there's, you know, there's certainly a piece of that that's true, but you could wait a really long time. Again, another great example of even, doesn't even matter what party you want to pick, the ideology split is such that you can't get consensus on the actual issues. And I think we're very quickly moving to a lot of more impasse. Again, it's just, I was talking actually with one of the guys, he's a head of one of our banks here locally after the session Saturday morning. I said, you know, it's ironic that in business, we can't do that. We have to find compromise. We have to find solutions to get things done. I mean, that's just what you do. And for whatever reason, we've kind of taken a political position of we don't have to do that.
There's a bottom line at the end of the day. You have to pay whatever bills you got to pay, and
you got to provide whatever service you're trying to provide. And you know, it's Manhattan's a little unique. I think we talked about this once before. The vast majority of all of our physicians are independent providers. They're not employed, and so if you want to get something done in the community, we all have to kind of come together and figure out how we're going to do that. And it does work. We get a lot of stuff done here. Pretty good relationships with people, but there's an interest in actually having it work. You know, I think that's the difference. That's why, I mean, we're able to provide medical care at the hospital because of a lot of independent physicians coming in and providing service and providing referrals. But that's how you actually make it work. You try to find some common ground. So.
Well, and I know, as you mentioned, of course, the physicians, we might, I don't know if you're, I didn't get a chance to talk to you a lot before we went on the air, but how are you doing staffing-wise? I know there was a point in time you were looking for more nurses and that kind of thing. And
yeah, well, that'll probably be the rest of my career. we'll be looking. So we actually have made some progress on the physician recruitment front. We have a new infectious disease physician who will be joining our, moving to the community here this summer. He's experienced, which is also nice. On the primary care stand, on that front, we actually have a commitment for one of the slots for our new clinic on 6th Street, and also working with a local practice to see if we can help them recruit. Other specialists, we have a new pain doc physician, Ian Malberg. He actually started in January. And, I mean, this is his background. This is his training. Very competent, young individual, I would say. I mean, don't be surprised when you walk in. He looks very young, but very, very competent and just a good doctor and nice to work with. We had very, very positive response from patients and staff with Dr. Malberg. We have a new pediatrician in town, had joined the independent pediatric group. And her background and specialty, Dr. Garrell, is really on inpatient medicine, which we've always kind of done some of that, but this is the first time to really that they've brought somebody in that this is her background as a specialist. So that's very encouraging. And we continue to recruit because there's, quite honestly, there's a lot of community need. If you look at the profile of our physicians across specialties and who's going to be retiring in the next 2 to 4 years, the list is actually longer than you might think, and it's pretty significant. So we definitely have some recruiting ahead of us, either into the independent groups or with Via Christi. One way or the other, we're going to have to find a way to get some physicians here.
I know around town you always hear that's the one thing with primary care physicians. A lot of them are so booked solid that I don't think they're even seeing new patients. It gets very difficult.
Well, so we had a part of our process as a kind of a larger organization. We do what's called a needs assessment. And so for primary care, we had that updated in December. And kind of you kind of do it by geographic areas based on zip codes. And so from Clay County to Wamego down to Junction City, kind of our region, excluding the base. But at that point, they said in December, we're 19 primary care providers short. And so let's say that even if they're half wrong, we're still 9 or 10 short, and we have 10 who will retire in that same region in the next 24 to 36 months. So
that's kind of frightening.
We're 20 short kind of regardless. And again, I mean, there's lots of entities and parties involved in kind of looking at that regionally, but that's, again, why we have to work together, and we're going to figure that out, because how do you provide, you know, find people who want to move to Clay Center and live in Wamego and live in Junction? And certainly live here in Manhattan, too. We've just kind of got to take that more holistic approach.
Let's go ahead and take a break. It is now 9:47, but again, we have with us today Via Christi Hospital Manhattan President Bob Koppel. And if you do have questions or comments, a reminder, now's your chance to call in 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. You're listening to In Focus.
Hey, neighbor, it smells amazing. What's